Thanks.
Can I pray for you?
Yep.
Jesus, I just thank you for Dad. I thank you for the words that you've put on his heart to share with us in this season. And I just pray that as he speaks, that you would speak through him, that you would open up our ears and our eyes and our hearts to receive what it is that you're saying. I pray that we'd be challenged in a good way and that, yeah, we would leave feeling really encouraged and uplifted through what you've shared. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Oh, awesome job. Did she do a good job this morning? Well, this is our second week of a series that we're doing called Living Your Full Life. So if you understand the whole context of that, jump online and watch last week's service and you'll get the whole context of that. But just a kind of a quick review of that. We're talking about this verse, John 10:10. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come, and it's Jesus speaking, to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. So last week we looked at the enemy has one thing in mind. His single-minded purpose is to steal, to slaughter, or kill, and destroy. He's on a mission to take us down. But Jesus, in contrast, says, but I've come to give you the complete opposite. He says, I've come to give you a life that's full. I've come to give you more than you expect. I've come to give you a life in all its fullness until you overflow. That sense about, we looked last week about that sense about overflowing. And we talked about if you get the right circumference in life, if you get the right center in life, you end up with the right circumference. If you get the wrong center, you end up, I don't know where. So we talked about the center being the presence of Jesus and focusing in on the center of Jesus' presence and allowing that to permeate and then to give us the right circumference. This morning, I want to ask you a question as we start, just thinking about, like, wouldn't it be nice to just get a letter from Jesus? You know, jump in the mail tomorrow and the letter comes and it says, hey, Rob, this week, I'd like you to focus on these things. These people will be prevalent in your life this week. Make sure you catch up with them and have coffee. Speak to them about these passages this week. Oh, and by the way, in 6 months' time, we're doing a trip to Mozambique. I'd like you to book tickets for that. And in a couple of years' time, there's going to be some changes and some shifts. So I'd like you to work and think about those and start planning now for what they look like down the future, because you won't have a lot of time and you need to start preparing well for that. Wouldn't it be great? Kind of, you say, okay, got it. I get out my calendar and I start to put those different things in. Yep, do that there, Tuesday's sorted. Yeah, and you kind of have this peace about, yes, I know what the Lord wants me to do. I don't know if you would like to get a letter like that, but I would like to get a letter like that. Well, I want to ask you this morning, what if Jesus has already given us that letter? What if we've already received it and we just haven't really realized it? What if it's already out there in a number of forms and we just haven't taken time to read it yet? I want to encourage us this morning to think about that. I feel in lots of ways that letter has already been written and it's already been sent. We just need to find it, read it, and align with it. So this morning what I want to talk about in terms of living our full life is the power of prophetic alignment. The power of aligning ourselves with the prophetic or with God's revelation to us. So the first thing about that is just if we want to live that full life, we need to align our life with God's prophetic voice. So let me unpack that a little bit. What do I mean by prophetic? In John 1 and verse 1, it says Jesus is called the Word of God or Logos. He's the Word. And the Word was with God, in God, through God. He was the Word before all time. In other words, at the very least, one thing it's saying about God is that he is a communicator. He's a God that communicates with us. He is Word, it says, and he created everything that has its life and breath by his words. Remember right back to Genesis, let there be light, let there be sun, let there be day, let there be night, let there be man. Everything was spoken into creation by his words. And in a sense, prophecy at its most fundamental level is the message of God, the word of God. It's about revelation. Prophecy at its least or at its fundamental level is the revelation of God. So when I preach a message this morning, I am preaching prophetically. I am bringing to you revelation from God. I am bringing to you a prophetic message. Scriptures are prophetic. They speak about our future. They speak about the here and now. They speak about our future. The scriptures, God's word, are prophetic words to us. And there are other forms of deeper revelation or other forms of the prophetic. And we talk about prophetic giftings or prophetic offices or, you know, words of knowledge or different ways that the prophetic can be expressed at deeper levels. But this morning I want to encourage us to think about the prophetic in the sense of the scriptures, but also God's prophetic words to us. God is a God who communicates and he's always speaking to us. We just need to tune in and listen to what he wants to say to us because he's always wanting to communicate to us verbally and non-verbally in lots of different ways. So let's have a deeper look at how God speaks to us prophetically through his words. And I say his words because I don't just mean scripture. So when I'm talking about the Bible, I'm going to talk about it as scripture. When I talk about God's words, I'm talking about scripture. I'm talking about prophetic words. I'm talking about words of knowledge, other ways that God may communicate to us, even through creation or in our spiritual awakening groups, we look at a number of different things, creation, imagination, dreams, visions, the church, a whole bunch of different ways that God can communicate or speak to us through his words. Here's a few verses of scripture to just illuminate that a little bit more. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. And that's exactly what God's word does. And incidentally, that verse is the center verse of the Bible. So we talk about get the right center, get the right circumference. If you go from the front of the Bible and the back of the Bible into the middle, that's the verse you'll come to. And what it's talking about is it's capturing the nature of the prophetic right there. It's saying that God's word is a lamp to my feet, like right now. It speaks to our here and now and our present situation. But it's also a light to our path. It's about our future. So we live in this tension in the kingdom of the now but not yet. And we walk prophetically as believers in that same tension, now but not yet. So a light to my feet and a lamp to my path, or a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We're looking at both simultaneously, here and now, but also up what's ahead. If you're walking up a big hill, you don't just, well, the easiest way to get up a big hill is actually not to look where you're going. Because if it's a really, really long hill, you don't want to see where you're going because it's disheartening or discouraging. But you do need to keep looking where you are and where you're going. I don't know about you these days, but I find that I've been thinking in my head about a project about awakening people to look up, connect, look around. Because just these days it just seems all these people are just, oh, sorry. I don't know about you, every time you're walking along, there's people crossing the road, they're almost getting hit by cars because they're looking at their phone or they're bumping into someone, or you're walking along and you kind of have to stop and wait for the person to look up and then veer because otherwise you're going to head on with them on the path. And it's like we've lost the art of just being able to be and see what's coming and see what's around and connect with other people. And that's the thing that the prophetic word is about. It's a life word coming to us to say, wake up, here's a word of God into your life. Do something with it. Take notice of it. Matthew 4:4 says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We live by the words of God, his scripture, what we read, and also prophetic words. Every word, both written and prophesied. The Logos words, the word of God, as well as what we call Rhema words, the fresh word of God coming through the Spirit. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Hey, catch that. God's word, it says, is alive and powerful. It's alive and powerful. If you want to be alive, get into God's word. If you want to live a powerful life, get into God's word. But it also says there, it goes deep. It goes into soul and spirit. It goes between joint and marrow, and it exposes our inner thoughts and desires. That can be a little bit sobering for a minute. Oh, God's word exposes my innermost thoughts and desires. But if it doesn't expose our innermost thoughts and desires, we stay where we are. When it does expose our innermost thoughts and desires, we become uncomfortable. And when we become uncomfortable, we enter discomfort. And when we enter discomfort, we can start doing something about changing and growing. We don't change and grow unless we experience some discomfort. That's the purpose of it. That's the part of it. So it exposes stuff and gives us insight about where we are and says, hey, right now you're taking a direction that's probably not that healthy for you. So the Holy Spirit exposes our thoughts and desires and says, here's a better direction to take. Follow that one. And that's how we align to that and go in the direction that God wants us to go. In Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, it says, you made all the delicate innermost parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Here's a key part of the verses. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Every moment of our life has been written down. It's recorded in a book. The thought about how often does Jesus get out and read that book? Or who reads that book? Who's speaking in heaven right now, reading out our prophetic destiny or our destiny as believers? About, hey, look at Babsy this week. Look, here's his life. Here's his days this week. Here's Rob, here's his days in this coming week. There's a purpose already set in heaven for each of us. I guess that's the point I'm trying to say. We're not here randomly. We're not here by chance. We're here by purpose and design. And because of that, we need to align to that design. We need to find out what that is by asking the Holy Spirit, by dwelling in the presence of God and aligning ourselves to that so we have the synergy of the presence of God flowing in our life. Revelation 19:10 talks about the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. In other words, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So as we read about Jesus, we also read about what's possible for us in our life. We read about how we can pursue the things that Jesus did and bring them into our life, and how that can powerfully align with that, increases our role as believers. And then lastly, about 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, verse 3 to 4, about the purpose of the prophetic. Paul says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. It's prophetic is a gift for the entire church. And therefore, we need each other to be speaking prophetically to strengthen the entire church. It's not a individual gift. Hence, that's why Paul is saying go after that, because it's something that will build up, strengthen, and encourage you and the entire church at the same time. The priority is love, but desire the gift of prophecy because it builds up, strengthens, and encourages the whole church. In other words, what he's saying about that is when we align ourselves with the power of the prophetic, there's not only a strength we gain, but there's a strength that gains for the whole church. We're doing something that builds up everyone at the same time. That's got to be a win-win. So then let me just talk about the practice of aligning with God's prophetic revelation for your life. It's one thing to get prophetic words, and then it's another thing to actually applicate them or apply them into our life. Paul says in Philippians 2 and verse 16, he says, hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Hold firmly to the word of life. the scriptures, hold firmly to those, to what Jesus says to us, to what God says to us in his word, the promises, the revelations, the stories, the parables. Hold firmly to them. Don't let go of them. In other words, hang on to them, meditate on them, and allow them to go deep, and hold firmly on to the prophetic words that God has spoken into our life. Timothy says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 to 15, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters." Timothy's saying, don't neglect the gift that was given to you. Yes, it was a gift of prophecy that was released when the elders laid hands on him. And I think what Timothy is saying in the sense of that is don't neglect the gift, therefore don't neglect the prophecy. It's not just about the gift, it's actually about what the gift brings, the fruit of that gift. And he's saying, don't neglect the gift and therefore don't neglect the prophecy. Pay attention to those matters. Pay attention to the words of God. Pay attention to the words of God in Scripture. Pay attention to the words of God that may be spoken over you prophetically. The next thing about that I would say to apply is to mind God's truth, God's word for his truth. And how do we do that? We read God's word, Scripture. It's kind of all Scripture is God breathed, and it's profitable. That's one thing. So we mine it and we steward it. What do we do with prophetic words given by human resources? They're not always imperfect, or they're not always perfect in that sense, because they come from us. And sometimes we don't always hear correctly, or sometimes we get it wrong, or sometimes we allow our bias to affect that. Do we discount prophetic words from other people? Not at all. But we take those words and we test them. We test them, first of all, against Scripture. Is the word in sync with Scripture, or is it in contrary to Scripture? If it's in contrary to Scripture, then we should dismiss the word, because it, first of all, has to align with what God's word says. So we test it there. If we've done that and it still weighs up, then we go to wise counsel and getting in the presence of mature Christians, and we say, hey, I've got this word. What do you reckon? Here's what I sense about it. I've been praying into it. I'd like you to pray with me about that. What do you think God is saying to me about this word? Help me understand it. We ought to do that particularly with things like dreams and visions or words of knowledge or things like that, which are a little bit more kind of arbitrary or objective, to get perspective from other people. And then, as it talks about in Romans 8, we ask the Holy Spirit to resonate in our spirit what is true in God's spirit. That's always the bottom line for me, that kind of plumb line about, Father, what are you saying and what am I hearing? Let those two things be the same, so that I can walk with power and confidence in that. And then James talks to us and he says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. He goes on to talk about what's like, look into the mirror and see that your hair and everything's like a mess, and then just, well, that's good, and just walk out. Or do you look into the mirror and see your hair's a mess and, fix it all up and then walk out? He's saying, don't just look at the word of God and then just go off. He's saying, look at it and do something about it. He actually says, you must do what it says. Otherwise, he says, you're only fooling yourselves. So how do we steward God's word then that we get? I'm talking, I suppose, more about prophetic words or even words from Scripture where God speaks to us. And I want to suggest to you that one of the best ways is to record it, is to write it down and collate it, particularly prophetic words. If someone says to you, I've got a prophetic word for you and it's not written down, get your phone out and record it and then transcribe it. You can download little free transcriber things on the internet. I've done it myself, and you can play the word and it'll transcribe it, bar a couple of little nuances here and there that you can just edit, and your word can go for 5 minutes and it'll transcribe it for you, which save you about an hour of typing it just out listening to it. But I'd say just transcribe it, write it down, record it. If God speaks to you through his word, you're reading something in the Bible in the morning and God's verse just jumps out, then take note of that, write it down, journal it, keep a record of it, highlight the things that God is specifically speaking to you about. Then nurture it, meditate on it, and imagine it. So once you have the things that God is speaking to you about, read them regularly. Nurture them. Take care of them to steward God's words. They are precious. Remember, they're power and life. They're powerful and life. They're alive. So read them, understand them, nurture them. Do some research if you're not sure of what they mean. You know, it only takes one word to change a life for eternity. We were at a friend's 50th party the other week, and there's one of my good mate's friends there, and his daughter has done a thing the last year where she has surfed every day. Every day, rain, hail, shine, big waves, small waves, whatever. And the whole purpose of that was to make a difference, to raise awareness with women about that they can actually go and do something. And also a whole stuff about surfing. And she developed this whole online stuff and a whole lot of camaraderie and grew, and a whole bunch of females all got involved in it. It was just an awesome, awesome project. And I said to her, that's an awesome project. I just haven't had the time to tell you that you did really, really well with that. So proud of you. It was awesome. Watching from afar, but just fantastic, awesome what you did. She said, well, Rob, this is what gets me about the power of the prophetic. She said, Rob, when I was a little girl, I wore a Hillsong shirt and it said, be a difference maker. And me in my smart, I won't say that other word, said to her, well, what difference are you going to make? And she said, well, that stuck in her mind. So 10 years, however many years later, she said, I wanted to make a difference. And I remember back to you saying that. And that's the difference that I made. It only takes one word. I was going to go, wow. You just say things sometimes at the prompting of the Spirit, you're fully aware of them. Sometimes you say things at the prompting of the Spirit you're not fully aware of. But how it just impacts people. The words of God over our life have power and impact. And we shouldn't take them lightly. We need to nurture them, steward them, mind them. I don't know what you do, but this is my prophetic word history. So when I first came into understanding the prophetic, and it was in this church, like early in the 2000s, I started to understand about this thing called the prophetic and prophetic words, and someone told me then, oh, you should record your words. So I started writing down my words. So whenever I get a prophetic word, I'm pretty anal about it. I get it. I keep it on my phone till I got time to transcribe it. I type it, and I just keep adding to my book. So I've got words here right back from the first one I've recorded here is around about, well, it's actually before 2000, because I remember a word that I wrote down and I just didn't realize what I was writing down before that. But I've got words here from 2000. So just thinking, like, when we first came from Bathurst to Sydney in 2000 to go to Moreland College, part of the reason for Margaret and I was to go and explore more of the Holy Spirit. And we were looking for a church. We were looking for a church that had more of the Holy Spirit, because we knew that it was on God's journey for us. We'd been in youth ministry and volunteering. I'd been in paid youth ministry for 7 years, and we'd been volunteering for about 15 years. We needed a break. So we didn't go to a Baptist church, because we knew that whatever Baptist church we went, they'd go, oh, you've been in youth ministry all this time. You should come do our youth ministry. And we just were tired. We needed a break, a sabbatical year. So we went to Ride Christian City Church, which are lovely pastors, Kathy and Richard Green, and we went there for a year before we came to Randwick Baptist of Grace Point. And in the first few weeks of going to Ride, they had a men's retreat. And I thought, well, that's a good way to go meet some people, and I should go on this men's retreat. And they had this American guy there called Phil Buchla. I'd never heard of him from a bar of soap. He hadn't met me. The first thing he says to me, gives me a prophetic word. He says, you are in a season of study. And I'm at Moreland College studying to full-time to become accredited pastor. He says, you're in a season of study, though the season of study is not in books, it's in the flow of the Spirit. I knew I was in the right place at the right time. I knew that just getting a degree at Moreland was to tick a box to suffice accreditation, but I knew the real thing of journey was the flow of the Spirit, and that developed over those next few years of that, and it's continuing to develop. That's the power of the prophetic. I've got prophetic word after prophetic word after prophetic word. I could read this. It'll take me ages to read this book. But in it, just keep trying to read it. I'm not as diligent as I'd like to be in reading it all the time, but just reminding myself about what God is saying to me, about stewarding that and then positioning myself with that. So the last thing I would say to us about stewarding or aligning ourselves with the power of the prophetic is to position ourselves to activate and align God's word to us. That is our choice. I'd pray about it, and then I'd say align is a choice to position yourself. It's like a plumb line. If God has written me these words about my life and he's already given to me these words to flow in and other words in scripture, I'd be silly to then go and chart my own course, if that makes sense. That's what I'm saying. I think God's already given us lots of answers or lots of direction for our life, both in our prophetic words and in scriptures. We just need to gather them and read them and see the themes, the encouragements, and then where the challenges are to head it forward in pursuing what God's already spoken to us about. I already have a pretty clear direction in here about where God wants me to focus, about what are the key things I need to be doing. I just need to work out the timing or ask him about the timing and just flow in that. But aligning of that is my choice and your choice. So about what's a priority to me at the moment is like, do I just work out my own priorities and say, well, I'll just do whatever? Or do I say, God, what are you speaking to me about? What are you saying to me about what you want me to do? Okay, I need to be about putting that into my life. I need to be about doing that. I need to make sure I give space for that. I need to journey with that. I need to pursue that. I need to research that. I need to step out into that. I need to say no to that in order to do that, because that's what God is saying. And if I don't have time for it, even more so, I need to say, oh, Lord, I need your help just to say no to those other pressures and say, all right, now I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to align myself powerfully and to the prophetic that God has spoken in my life so the power in his life overflows. Remember, the power in my life of his power in my life overflows. Remember the verse John 10:10? Give you an abundant life until your life overflows. It overflows when we align ourselves with God's heart and design for us and we step into that. That increases. We activate it as we walk through it. And often it's in the walking out of it that it starts to develop in power. It's not just sitting and wondering, what should I do? Or waiting until everything aligns and then stepping out. It's actually stepping out into the mess and then allowing God to bring those things into being and allow us to align prophetically. We're going to just do a little activation exercise this morning that Marguerite's going to come and lead us in, just to help us think a little bit about the prophetic before we finish.